Hey guys, you've heard of the Young Turks podcast because you're listening to it right now. But make sure that you subscribe and give it a 5-star rating if you like it. Thank you for listening.
Drop it. All right, power panel. Jake Ugarjan Iadarola, Ramesh Srinivasan is back. Great to have you back.
What's up, man?
All right.
Nice to see you.
Great to see you, brother. So we got two great hours for you guys. Man, this Friday is chock full of news and amazing news, fascinating news. We got to get through all of it because there's pork feces in the show and apparently in your food. So thanks to Donald Trump. Just when you thought Donald Trump couldn't be get worse, we find pork feces at the bottom of the barrel. Okay, so you'll see that story, unfortunately, later. And then the Matt Bevin story that's at near the end of the show. What? Why did he pardon child rapists and murderers? And it turns out, I don't want to give it away, but the reason he did it, oh my God, it's unbelievable. So, an amazing show today, and I'm not even. But wait till we get to Nancy Pelosi and her decision to hold the impeachment, because okay. So now Anna and I talked about this. It's a bungle off, and Pelosi's retaking the lead from Trump. Mm-hmm. She's like, no one will out bungle me, and the national press is all kissing her ass. It's amazing. It's amazing. This show is amazing. So don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
John, we also have announcements, right? We've got a panic time here.
Don't go anywhere, but especially don't go outside because it's cold out there until you get something to warm you up. And we're gonna actually help you out with that, because right now you can gear up for winter with 30% off all hoodies and long sleeve shirts now at shoptyt.com. You can use the code winter30 at shoptyt.com and look at all the different options.
See, it's one of those sales where I go, really? 30% off? What are we doing? What are we, socialist giving the thing away?
Okay. Democratic socialist.
Yes, there you go.
I love how the mattress stores, the ads are always the manager's out of town. Here, the manager's here, but he doesn't like it.
Yeah, not buying it.
He's not a fan.
I had a 2-hour debate on agitprop saying I'm a capitalist. What are we doing? Giving away the material. All right, anyway. ShopTYT.com.
Okay.
Apparently it's a good time to buy.
Yeah. Coming up soon, Hassan debates Cenk on sales. Are they good or are they a social?
A 2-hour debate on shoptyt.com. All right, okay. Anyway, Merry Christmas, apparently, everybody.
Exactly. Okay. Bah humbug from Cenk. Okay, let's jump into the news. Donald Trump got more than 80% of the evangelical vote, and he's probably gonna do fine with them come 2020, but he just lost at least one evangelical, and that is the person who wrote in Christianity Today, an article about why Donald Trump should be removed from office. I want to read some of that for you. And bear in mind, this is a magazine that's been around for some time. Wrote about and supported the impeachment of both Nixon and Clinton before them. And they talk about that in this article, but then go on to say, whether Mr. Trump should be removed from office by the Senate or by popular vote next election, that is a matter of prudential judgment. That he should be removed, we believe, is not a matter of partisan loyalties, but loyalty to the creator of the Ten Commandments.
Wow.
And So through the course of the article, the writer Mark Galli goes through some of the evidence in the Ukraine scandal, but mostly focuses on his moral deficiencies, both sure. leading up to the scandal, but in particular what this scandal represents. And one little brief overview I'll give you. I'm gonna give you a few articles, a few paragraphs at some point, but they say this president has dumbed down the idea of morality in his administration. He has hired and fired a number of people who are now convicted criminals. He himself has admitted to immoral actions in business and his relationship with women, about which he remains proud. His Twitter feed alone, with its habitual string of mischaracterizations, lies, and slander, is a near perfect example of a human being who is morally lost and confused. I just want to briefly say, it is amazing how many of his associates and aides and employees are in jail or have served their time. Like Sean Hannity spends his entire career trying to craft the idea that people like Barack Obama have as much sheer criminality around them. Like the fact that he's a Republican that makes them not care. But no president that I can think of had this many just admitted criminals, convicted criminals on a constant basis.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, two things about that, and then we'll get back to this article. One is that Donald Trump has all these not only convicted criminals around him, but his former lawyer is in prison right now for a crime they committed together, and that Trump should also be impeached for. But what did they have on Obama? He's from Chicago. That's all they had. That he was from the city of Chicago. Do you remember how many times they would say that? This is the kind of Chicago mentality that Obama has. Doing what?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and really fast, bit of a disclaimer. We fully understand that both Trump and Obama have done tons of stuff that should be appalling and illegal, perhaps war crimes as well. We're talking about things that we have any chance of getting people like on cable news, people in Congress to actually admit is a crime. There's some stuff that we all accept is criminal behavior, but they're never going to.
Yeah, the Democratic, this also shows Democratic Party's incompetence, unfortunately, for the 100th time in a row or the millionth time in a row. Donald Trump, with all this, should be at a 12% popularity rating. I mean, Jesus Christ, can you imagine if Obama or Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, half their cabinet was in prison or convicted criminals and had broken 5 different laws and had lied 13,000 times, and it was proven by the Washington Post. My God, he would have been absolutely obliterated, run out of office, tarred and feathered at a 9% approval rating. But the Democrats are so incompetent that Donald Trump is sitting at like a 43% approval rating. That's outrageous. It's outrageously high. Even though it's very low for a president, it's outrageously high given what kind of a criminal he is. And so that goes back to this editorial finally going, hey, listen, man, I know you want me to say that the emperor has clothes on, but he doesn't. I'm just gonna say it. He's a deeply immoral man. Thank you. Finally, someone said it.
I mean, definitely what we have here is a factory or a house full of criminals. And what we see occurring here in relation to this story has a lot to do with what religion and Christianity itself specifically mean in this country. Mm. I think that's a really interesting point, right? What Christianity means in different countries and different cultures can be completely different things. Christianity can be used as an anti-colonial movement or a liberation theology movement. Mm-hmm. But here in this country, for some reason, because of certain interpretations of religious freedom and definitely the pro-life side of things, it has had a stranglehold as an evangelical sort of voting bloc or identity. Yeah. And I wonder with this editorial board, this is not just the author, but this is an editorial board of a well-known, you know, not necessarily right-wing, but you know, well-known evangelical magazine, whether that means this support is fraying, because on every measurement of Christianity, I'm not actually a Christian myself, but on every measurement of Christianity, Trump is essentially the opposite of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Far more so than in traditional senses than Obama was, who was attacked as a secret Muslim. So it's weird how all that works out. More of the article goes into why Christians should be, especially evangelical Christians, should be worried about the long-term damage that could be done to public perceptions of evangelical Christianity if they don't speak out against Donald Trump. I'm gonna skip one graphic, but I wanna read one more for you. And it really goes into, yes, there are short-term wins for evangelicals. There are. Trump is incredibly deferential to them in terms of their social goals, judges that will support them and things like that. But you should be able to differentiate between government goals that you want and, you know, your attachment to your faith. The writer says, no matter how many hands we win in this political poker game, we are playing with a stacked deck of gross immorality and ethical incompetence. And just when we think it's time to push all of our chips to the center of the table, that's when the whole game will come crashing down. It will crash down on the reputation of evangelical religion and on the world's understanding of the gospel. And it will come crashing down on a nation of men and women whose welfare is also our concern. I would add, as an atheist, there's a lot of current problems without Donald Trump that you should also deal with. But yes, I can understand that concern.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this, like especially like since I've been joining you all. And I think a lot of what Trump does is he has a sort of a two-tiered strategy, right? All the policies support elite billionaire corporate interests, right? Yep. But a lot of the other kind of rhetorical approaches and at times policy approaches, especially with judges, pro-life judges, support culture war interests, right? So a lot of the populists, the mass block of voters, tend to be quite poor, right? And tend to kind of adhere to this sort of warped, I would say, interpretation of evangelical Christianity. So it's part of this overall strategy, and I am just hopeful that we see the fraying of this with examples like this that are actually applying a Christian ideal litmus test to someone whose actions represent the absolute anti-Christian approach, yeah. You know.
But you know, so that religion and state unfortunately have totally merged within the Republican Party, and it's the same exact message. Think about it. A lot of evangelical leaders now are pushing prosperity gospel. What is prosperity gospel? The poor give to the rich.
That's true.
Like literally. The pastors are incredibly wealthy. They demand 2-3 different private jets from their flock, and the folks who are middle class and poor give money to the incredibly wealthy pastors, and they say that's okay because God wants the pastor to be rich. He wants them to be obscenely rich, which is the exact opposite of what the Bible says. It's not even close. It's not even close, right? And so, and then they say, don't worry, then you'll get it in heaven, or if you give me a buck now, you'll get 10 bucks later. It's just a total scam. And what is the Republican Party? Tricking poor people into giving to the rich, redistribution of wealth to the top. The tax cuts that Trump passed, $2 trillion in tax cuts, 83% of them go to the top 1%. But most of his voters are poor. He does the best with people who do not have a college education. That's his number one demographic. So the folks who have the least amount of money enable Donald Trump to give all of the money to the rich. It's the same exact thing as the prosperity gospel.
Yeah, it makes me think about whether we can think about the evangelical population in this country not in a vacuum as an inherently right-wing Republican constituency, right? Could there be a way to counter-mobilize that population according to the actual principles?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, maybe not the Bible, but just in some political calculus.
I would argue it's different. It's difficult, though, because hypothetically, within evangelical Christianity, there's any number of different issues that they could mobilize on, vote on. Some of them might lean more conservative, some might lean more progressive, but they've been taught that there is one, maybe two. We have issues with gay people too, but it's mostly abortion and that's it. That's the only thing you should think about. Forget all of those other values, forget 99% of what Jesus said, even about abortion in the Bible, not Jesus, but the Bible is very clear that abortion is acceptable in some circumstances. So don't think about any of that, just abortion. Until you break that, I don't see how you get a significant portion of them to cross over. But we do have a reaction to that Christianity Today article coming from Donald Trump, who says a far left magazine, or very progressive as some would call it, which has been doing poorly and hasn't been, he checked their distribution. He checked before he wrote that, he checked to see if it was down. They're doing worse, he checked because he cares. Which has been doing poorly and hasn't been involved with the Billy Graham family for many years. Christianity Today knows nothing about reading a perfect transcript of a routine phone call, and would rather have a radical left non-believer who wants to take your religion and your guns than Donald Trump as your president. No president has done more for the evangelical community, and it's not even close. You'll not get anything from those Dems on stage. I won't be reading ET again.
I don't know. Entertainment Tonight?
Or I guess. Yeah, that's the best case scenario, is he's talking about Entertainment Tonight.
That's just a typo. Like he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yes. Okay, and never fixes it.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they far left? Of course not.
No.
Okay, they are very anti-choice, proudly anti-choice. This same editorial board supported not just Nixon's but Clinton's impeachment, saying he was immoral. They said we used almost the same exact standard for Clinton as we did for Trump, and if you were principled, of course you would come to the same conclusion. And they said we love what Trump is doing on what they would call the pro-life issue and on abortion. We love what he's doing in terms of what they call religious freedom, right? But he's like it. The Mark Galli explained, when you take all of his deep immorality, it tips the scales in favor of no. It can't justify what he's doing in terms of his policy. So they're not remotely far left. All of that is, of course, lies. He didn't check whether their subscriptions are going up or down. Mm-hmm. But to him, in his mind, if someone is getting bad ratings, that means they're a bad person.
Yeah.
Because he's a clown and he performs in a circus, so he thinks the circus is everything.
Yeah.
It's notable, though, that this magazine has decided to elevate other issues that Trump represents the absolute abomination of in terms of morality, integrity toward women, service toward people and poor people. It's decided to elevate those things over the pro-life category. So
that's,
I mean,
true.
This is, you know me, I'm a hopeful person. So I'm sort of seeing this as maybe like a blueprint for a new ledger of mobilizing people against someone who's the most anti-Christian.
Yeah. Well, see, isn't that interesting that if you elevate women and other human beings to the same level as anyone else. That's it, not above them, but at the same level so that everybody's equal. Donald Trump and his followers find that so offensive that they say that's a far left position. That women would have the same rights as men is so far left that these guys are, even though they're anti-choice, etc., are hopeless.
I know this is a small point, but I think it's weird how when he's trying to communicate, because remember, he's a Christian. He's a Christian. When he tries to communicate with Christians, he said, they're gonna take your religion and your guns. It's just this weird mixing up of like old school right wingers and evangelicals. What about like your guns being taken away is supposed to be incredibly scary to the people who believe that Jesus said, if you're struck to turn the other cheek. He didn't say turn the other cheek and then pull out your AR and blast away. And yet you just all mix it together because the direct pronouncements of Jesus are supposed to be ignored. You're supposed to care about abortion and that's about it.
Yeah, it's a great example of what I was trying to say earlier, that what religion means through the matrix of place and culture and history can be more different than similar, right?
100%.
And we see that here.
Well, this is, I hate to do it again, but it's another issue of the Democrats and the media falling asleep at the wheel. Like if we had an effective Democratic Party that had courage, they would challenge these things that are ridiculous and absurd. But it's religion, so they're like, oh no, run away. We don't want to talk about religion. That'll help the right wing. No, it won't. If you actually said the things that Jesus said, it wouldn't help the Republicans. It would deeply hurt the Republicans because they're against what Jesus said. But they have no courage. And the media, same thing. I'm on, no. It's gonna offend religious people. I'm gonna lose readers. I'm gonna lose ratings. I don't wanna have Donald Trump say I have poor ratings. So I'm not gonna touch it at all. And we're gonna have black and white discussions of religion that have no nuance, no intellectual context, and no background. Just they're the worst. So they just sit there and go, oh, okay, if they say the only thing that's in the Bible is that Jesus hated abortion, again, the Bible's actually pro-abortion. They're like, oh, it doesn't matter that it's not true. I'm just not gonna touch it. What do you think I am, journalist?
I think because he had tweeted these two things early in the morning, then he returned to the topic. I think we have one more tweet, if we can bring that up. I guess the magazine Christianity Today is looking for Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, or those with a socialist and communist bent to guard their religion. How about Sleepy Joe? The fact is, no president has ever done what I have done for evangelicals or religion itself.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, how is that not blasphemous?
And obviously offensive in lots of ways, right? The kind of common thing that we're gonna see moving forward with the way progressives are labeled as called communists, though a socialist is actually someone who supports public education, the post office, social security. You guys have covered this better than anyone. But I think it's also the point that religion, at least I'm a Bernie Sanders surrogate, so full disclosure, but at the end of the debate, in his last words, Sanders said yesterday, I want this to be about love. And I was like, dang, that's what religion actually in its ideal form should be about.
Yeah.
And they've turned it on its head. They proved George Orwell right 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways. Now Jesus isn't the Prince of Peace, he's the Prince of Shotguns.
Well put.
Right, then Christianity isn't about love, it's about hate. And who do you hate and who can you attack? And if you're looking for a socialist communist, his name is Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
He literally said, give away all of your possessions. All of your possessions. You want to talk about redistribution of wealth and give it to the poor and the needy. Where's that message in the Republican Party? They're a bunch of unbelievable liars, and the idiot Democrats and the incompetent media in this country have totally let them get away with it.
Yeah. Why don't we take our first break?
Yes. All right. When we come back, that was just a warm-up act. I have actual passion and rage later. Okay, we'll be right back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back in the Young Turks, lots of great comments as usual. Donna in the member section says, keep in mind that the people who vote for Trump are members of a cult. No matter what the Democrats would say, they would not listen and would not believe. Totally right. It doesn't matter what one of the leading evangelical magazines in the country would say. Of course they don't care. And I said about the guy yesterday, oh, he's gonna get fired. And they're gonna get so ruthlessly attacked. There's no way he survives. It turns out he was already stepping down. That's why. He's stepping down in January. This was the very last thing that he did. Otherwise, there's no way he could actually say the truth, because it'll cost you your livelihood, your reputation, and everything you've ever worked for, because the cult will destroy you.
But to be fair, the board did okay it.
Yeah.
And he's gone, but they still need their reputation.
Document.
So,
yeah. As I talked about yesterday, tremendous courage. I deeply respect him, even though we don't agree on politics. All right. Phoenix 9 has a slightly more cynical look at this. The evangelicals already got their judges, so now they find their conscience not impressed. It's interesting way of looking at it.
They'd like, there's no end to how many judges they'd like.
That's
no,
right.
No billionaire is like, that's enough, I don't need more. No, there's an endless hunger.
Yeah. Cerberus Alpha says, Jenks adopted Black Sun 2020. Oh, okay. I didn't know I adopted you, but okay. God bless. He says, oh, my Johnny Pie and Ramesh on the panel. Talk about power.
Nice.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. And following up on that one last one, two last ones from Twitter. Kieran says, watching TYT Live for the first time this week. Love the power panel. Thank you, Kieran. We appreciate it. And also using hashtag TYT Live on Twitter to talk to us. Eclectic Miscellaneous says, if he thinks Christianity today is far left, then imagine what he would think of TYT. His head might literally explode. apparently the same with the entire national media.
He would think of us as some sort of post-human cyber commune or something. I don't know. Right. Okay, so before we jump back into the news, I want to let you know about two interesting programs you should definitely check soon. One outside of TYT, that is ABC News' The Year 2019, where Brett Ehrlich will be hosting once again, breaking down the year. Tune in Sunday at 9, 8 central to check it out. Should be a lot of fun, it always is. You can also see writer and director Scott Z. Burns, who's gonna be a guest on The Conversation tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time. He'll be talking to us about his movie, The Report, on Amazon Prime Video. Tune in at tyt.com/live. You can figure out the rest of that and see Scott Burns.
He's a wonderfully progressive filmmaker, done some of the top movies in the country. And man, he knows his stuff and super progressive. Check that out, it's a great interview.
Okay, so let's jump back into the news. blessedly, Rudy Giuliani has been out of the picture for the last week or two. He's been off doing his investigating in Europe, and he's coming back soon. But what do people like Lindsey Graham think about him? Is he actually helping out the president the way the president seems to think? Well, we've got a couple of sources close to the president. First, Lindsey Graham, what does he think about this investigation?
As to Rudy, I don't know what Rudy's got, but I'm gonna send him a letter. If you're gonna go on national television and tell the country that you found evidence of a cover-up, then I hope you know what you're talking about. He's a good friend. He was a strong supporter of Senator McCain. He actually helped engineer an endorsement by candidate Trump of my good friend John McCain in the primary. I like Rudy a lot, but we're gonna have to watch what we say. So I'm gonna have an open invitation to Rudy Giuliani to come to the Senate Judiciary Committee and tell us what you found. And if he comes, you gotta be willing to ask questions about your conduct. It's just not good for the country to make these accusations on cable television without them being tested.
So look, Lindsey is almost always 100% deferential and protective of Donald Trump. That's also generally true of Rudy Giuliani. So it's interesting to see Lindsey Graham not really explicitly attacking or challenging Rudy Giuliani, but the threat is sort of, I think, fairly obviously there.
Yeah, no, the reason Rudy is empowered is because Trump, to this day, keeps saying, oh, Rudy's got stuff, man. Rudy's, oh yeah, I sent him, he's fantastic. And so now Lindsey Graham knows that Donald Trump's an idiot. And so he has talked to the baby in the way that you would talk to little kids. And he's like, now remember, if Rudy comes to the Senate, he's basically saying the other side would get to ask him questions and he would have to have this thing we call evidence. So we have to be really careful. Do you understand that? He's not talking to Giuliani, he's talking to Trump. Because without Trump, Giuliani's a raving lunatic that's wandering the streets. Mm-hmm. Who cares about Giuliani?
Well, even with Trump, yes.
That's right. But so Lindsey Graham's saying, now remember Donald, remember Donnie, we need this thing called evidence. Don't bring him here and get yourself in more trouble. Remember that, Donnie? Okay, but because he's dealing with two imbeciles. Yeah.
I mean, I think we're at a situation right now where they can be disorganized and off the rails, but they know fully well that they're going to get away with it because everything is partisan and nothing is evidence-based when it comes to the Senate and these Republicans who refuse to just sort of evaluate things neutrally or evidentially, right? Yeah. However, it does raise the point, and this thought crossed my mind. I saw you guys talk about it a little bit last night, where Andrew Yang made the point at the debate last night, people don't really care about the impeachment. He kind of walked it back a little bit. I personally fully support, right, that Trump is impeached and this is a violation, right? But the question I just want to ask you guys, it gives me an opportunity since I haven't talked to you guys about this, is why is Trump not been impeached on about 7 or 8 other things concurrently with this specific Ukraine thing that a lot of working class people may not care about, right? Like for destroying all, not following the law on many, many occasions, the emoluments clause, right? Enriching his own business, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I can list them out, but I won't do that. But I just wonder why can't the impeachment itself be on why couldn't we have pushed this so that there are multiple, red marks on Trump's record so that that becomes part of our political capital in destroying him in 2020?
There's a simple answer to that, and it's a very depressing one. Democratic leadership is historically incompetent. So now I'm seeing all over online, and they feel empowered. Conservatives saying all over, and it looks like they're winning over independents. There was no crimes charged, so I guess Donald Trump didn't commit a crime. They just disagree with him. No, I told you it was too vague. I told you abuse of power is too vague. Mm-hmm. He's committed actual crimes. The hush money payments to his mistresses. Exactly. Michael Cohen, his co-conspirator, is in prison. Why don't you say it? Why don't you say it?
And so actual crimes here too, but those are just the latest in a long line of actual crimes.
Yeah, I've been observing, Steve Bannon has been kind of speaking out and doing interviews, and he often talks about the political arc, right? The political optics as a media person like us, right? Yeah. The political optics of the impeachment, like what is the narrative that's produced out of the impeachment, because it's not going to be conviction about Trump, and how does that stay and become part of the narrative of defeating Trump in 2020? Yeah. We got to get that narrative right, because otherwise if it's just this Ukraine thing that a lot of people don't care about, to your point, Cenk, the Senate is not going to convict, then what do we have? We have the witch hunt thing all over again, right?
With this Democratic leadership, we have no hope. They're so terrible at their jobs. I don't know if it's because of some degree of corruption they have regarding money, so that's why they never want to talk about Trump's money or campaign finance violations and all the things that he has most clearly done.
Stolen appropriations from Congress for the wall.
Yeah.
Sexual harassment stuff that drove out Franken Congress. Yeah.
But I think that it's probably just largely, they just have no earthly idea what they're doing, and they are enabled by the national media that sees their grotesque incompetence and goes, attaboy, a master legislator. I mean, my God, there's an article today in a HuffPost that's supposed to be progressive about, oh, Nancy Pelosi, her record of accomplishment is amazing. It's Orwellian. The press also is an alternate reality where these people are competent.
There's a fixation on causes that don't necessarily matter to 99% of voters.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
I mean, look, if it were up to me, it would not have been those specific charges that they filed. It would have been broader. It wasn't up to me. Nancy Pelosi and Democratic leadership seem to think that this is easier to grasp. It's a very clear thing. You can see it. They have the transcript and all of that. I disagree with part of the premise. I don't think it's true that the vast majority don't care. I think the vast majority of the country, 70-80%, say that what he did was wrong, and it's very understandable. A narrow majority of the country thinks that he should be removed from office based on it. But I think to the extent that more people don't get why it's wrong, I think that a lot of people who should be making the case for why people being willing to sell out our foreign policy to manipulate an election should be wrong. We should all care about that. I think Andrew Yang would prefer to focus on other issues. That's perfectly fine. I know there are some people who try to make the case that nothing of this sort matters because they apparently have little concern for the future of American elections. And this knee-jerk need to protect Donald Trump from any accountability. I don't get it. I would have put a whole ton of other crimes that he's committed on there. I think that them letting him, even just the 10 counts of obstruction of justice under the Mueller report, I think that should have been involved too. Any number of different things. But I partially disagree.
We agree. I mean, it's an all hands on deck kind of approach that we both would support.
Now, I do want to just add one more thing. That was Lindsey Graham. Ivanka Trump was also asked during a recent appearance on TV about Rudy Giuliani. Is he actually giving good counsel to the president?
In your opinion, do you think he's getting good counsel from Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal attorney?
I know Rudy Giuliani in a very different context as one of the greatest mayors in the history of this country and a real hero in New York. So that is the experience I've had with Rudy for a very long period of time. He's smart and thoughtful and a real warrior and was a great mayor.
That was not an answer to the question. She paused. She looked down.
Deflection.
I prefer to think of him as of 15 years ago.
When he flushed all like the working goodwill. Class black and brown people out of Manhattan.
That's true too. And all that stuff that she said about being a hero and all of that. Yeah, he's done nothing since then but try to totally destroy that reputation.
I'm now broken record. Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump might have literally lost their minds. Like they are so unbelievably unintelligent and incoherent. They're raving, sweaty tooth madmen, and the Democrats are kind of losing to them. My God.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Can I say one other thing about the nature of the impeachment over this thing? It's one thing that I think sometimes language matters. And so I know that early on when people were talking about the transcript, we all want to be very clear that it's not an actual transcript because it implies things in the word. There's another word that I want to take issue, or a phrase I want to take issue with, and it is describing the plot was to get dirt on Joe Biden, or Rudy Giuliani is going there to get dirt on Joe Biden. Hypothetically, if there is dirt there, they'd like it. But the plot is not to get dirt. The plot is to make it seem as if there is dirt. They didn't want Zelensky to do a CNN interview and announce investigations because they knew that Zelensky would find something. They knew that it doesn't matter if Zelensky finds anything. If he does the press conference, if he talks about the investigation, if that becomes a topic of news, that does the damage by itself. And that's why for someone like me, I don't support Joe Biden. I don't, a lot of people don't, but you should still be concerned about this because the easy casual selling out of a foreign policy to manipulate the media into affecting public opinion of an election, that does matter. This is not a case where we can say, well, you know, if there's something there, we all need to know the facts. This is being manipulated into thinking something is there, whether it is or not.
And by the way, you know what this sounds just like, unfortunately, is Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, there's any number of terrible things that Hillary Clinton did that could have been the focus of the last couple of weeks of media coverage. What was the focus was stuff that was not even accurate. But does it matter after the fact that it wasn't? So no, if it had an effect, it had an effect.
Let progressives at these guys, let us fight them. You corporate Democrats have no idea what you're doing. Please, for God's sake, step aside. Otherwise, you might even lose to this buffoon one more time. My God, if Biden runs into Trump and they have this kind of strategy. Oh, yeah. God.
Oh, yeah. And the whole impeachment doesn't matter. If it's Biden, it's still going to be a dominant narrative in the election. Exactly the same as if it hadn't been discovered.
Yep.
Okay, why don't we turn to a very different topic? Okay. Last night at the Democratic debate in the spin room, we had one of our associates was there. We Skyped in to the coverage last night, but was also conducting some interviews. And we have one that we want to focus on. So this is David Dayan talking with Adi Barkin about Medicare for All, the rollout, and Adi's support for Elizabeth Warren's plan. We've got a couple clips. Here's the first.
A lot of progressives have talked about her transition plan for Medicare for All. Obviously, you're a huge Medicare for All activist and enthusiast. Why do you think her plan is the one that gives us the best chance of getting to healthcare for every man, woman, child in America?
I am excited about Elizabeth's plan because I think that it strengthens and expands Medicare as much as possible, as quickly as possible, and then sets us up to complete Medicare for All by the end of her first term. It's a huge deal that her plan would, in the first 100 days, expand Medicare to cover about half of America for free. It will be life-changing for tens of millions of people who are currently uninsured, underinsured, or drowning in medical debt. It will also be excellent for the Americans over 50 who want to buy into Medicare now. This is a huge down payment on Medicare for All that will quickly show the American people that it works, and positions us to win the full enchilada in 2023 after what should be very favorable Senate elections in 2022. Both the Sanders and Jayapal bills also have transition periods with optional buy-in, so that we can prove that the system works.
Okay, so obviously I have endorsed Bernie Sanders, and so you're gonna be shocked to find out that I support his plan instead. But I don't think that there's anyone with a straight face that can say that Adi is not serious and honest about what he thinks about this issue, considering all the activism he's done over the years.
So he has ALS, and technology is amazing that they, you know, that we can talk to him in that way. He's one of the smartest, most effective, most progressive folks in the entire country, and so. I don't know anyone in the movement that doesn't have tremendous respect for him. So him endorsing Elizabeth Warren was a big deal. Now, part of the reason for that is Elizabeth Warren has helped him, not personally, but on the causes we all care about, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, etc. That's why when I would defend Elizabeth Warren over and over again, and some folks got frustrated, no, because I know folks like Adi and Matt Stoller and others who are, you know, huge.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.